Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about George Friedman's The Next Decade. Sophie, I have to admit, I went into this thinking it was going to be another doom and gloom prediction book, but it actually surprised me.
Hey there, Sam. Yeah, I had a similar reaction. Friedman is a geopolitical forecaster, not a prophet. He doesn't try to predict headlines. Instead, he maps the deep structural forces that will shape the next 10 years. It's a refreshingly realistic take.
Right. And his central argument is that the United States is the sole superpower, but it's facing this really delicate challenge. It has to manage a global system it dominates, but can't fully control.
Exactly. He starts from a pretty sobering premise. The world is inherently anarchic. There's no global police force. Every nation acts in its own interest, and the primary interest is survival. So America's goal for the next decade is to prevent any rival from rising in Eurasia that could challenge its dominance.
That sounds like Cold War logic, doesn't it? He basically says that even though the Soviet Union is gone, the strategic logic remains. The enemy is just more diffuse now.
Yeah, and that's where it gets interesting. He spends a lot of time on China, which he sees as the most formidable long-term challenger. But he cautions against the idea of a looming war. He says China's power is real but brittle.
Brittle how?
Its economic growth is built on political repression, massive internal migration, and a fragile banking system. The Communist Party's legitimacy rests entirely on delivering prosperity. If that engine falters, the regime could face existential unrest. So Friedman argues China isn't looking for war. It wants a sphere of influence in Asia to secure resources and maintain domestic calm.
So the American strategy should be containment, not confrontation.
Exactly. He predicts the flashpoint will be the South China Sea, where Chinese claims clash with American allies like Japan and the Philippines. The U.S. needs to maintain a powerful naval presence there to deter conflict, not start one.
Okay, then what about Russia? He doesn't see it as a rising power, right?
No, Russia is declining. Shrinking population, stagnant economy, deep historical insecurity. Its only real source of power is its nuclear arsenal and its ability to project force along its borders. Friedman's key insight is that Russia's goal isn't conquest, it's disruption.
Disruption. I like that. Create chaos on America's periphery to force the U.S. to treat it as a great power.
Right.
So we'll see constant low-grade conflict, natural gas pipelines, cyber attacks, and proxy wars. The U.S. has to resist overcommitting there because Russia's weakness is its own best weapon.
In Europe? He has a pretty dim view of it, doesn't he?
He calls it a strategic dwarf. Wealthy, integrated, but no unified military or coherent foreign policy. And it's deeply divided over identity and purpose. Plus, its reliance on Russian energy makes it vulnerable. Europe will remain a consumer of security, not a provider.
That's harsh. But then he also talks about the Middle East, and I found his take on Iran really provocative.
Oh, the nuclear Iran part? He predicts the U.S. will eventually accept a nuclear-armed Iran because the cost of preventing it through force is too high. The real challenge will be managing the consequences, like a regional arms race.
Honestly, the most surprising part for me was his discussion of America itself. He argues that the greatest threat to American power isn't China or Russia, but internal decay.
Right.
He points to the national debt, congressional dysfunction, erosion of trust in institutions, the gap between the ruling class and ordinary citizens. He says the political system can't make the hard choices anymore.
And his prescription is, well, it's unsettling. He says the U.S. needs strong, decisive executive leadership that can act in the national interest, even if it means bypassing a gridlock Congress.
He doesn't advocate for dictatorship, but for an enlightened realism at the highest levels. The president must be a geopolitical strategist first, willing to cut domestic spending, renegotiate trade deals, and use military power in a focused way.
And the American people have to accept that the era of cheap money and global crusades is over. We need austerity and strategic retrenchment.
That's a hard sell, politically. But he's consistent. He calls the American system an empire, not colonial, but a network of bases, alliances, and influence. And like all empires, the danger is overextension.
So the lesson for the next decade is that the U.S. has to distinguish between what's vital and what's merely desirable. It has to let some regions burn and accept a degree of chaos that its moralistic instincts find repugnant.
Right.
He also talks about the nature of future war, drones, cyber attacks, and special operations. The ability to disrupt an enemy's command and control will be more important than seizing territory. And the U.S. is both advantaged and vulnerable there.
And the global financial system. He sees the 2008 crisis as a symptom of a deeper problem. The global economy is built on American debt. At some point, creditors will lose confidence, and the dollar could collapse.
So the U.S. must reduce its debt and rebuild its industrial base, or risk losing the economic power that underpins its military strength. It's a lot of painful choices.
But he's not purely pessimistic. He believes the U.S. has the resources and strategic tradition to navigate this. It just needs clear-eyed realism.
The key takeaway for me is that the next decade will test American character. Can we manage our relative decline gracefully? Or will we lash out futilely? The pen is in the hands of a few people in Washington, Beijing, Moscow.
The one thing I'm taking away is that in geopolitics, there are no permanent friends or enemies, only permanent interests. And for the U.S., the most permanent interest is survival.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
Well, that's a sobering but fascinating book. Thanks for digging into it with me, Sophie.
Always a pleasure, Sam. The world is a dangerous place, but understanding it is the first step. We'll see you in the next one.